From the American College of Financial Services, it's time for NextGen in 10. For the next 10 minutes, join our host, Alana Phillips, as she speaks with industry leaders and insightful guests about topics relevant to up-and-coming financial professionals.
Hey all, it's Alana Phillips here with NextGen in 10. And today we have a very special guest, someone who is from the college, but wears many, many hats in our industry, Jali Chen. Thank you for being with us today, Jali.
Well, thank you, Alana. I'm just very grateful and blessed to have a superstar in the industry talking with me today.
So, Don't make me blush. Jali, you are the Associate Provost of Graduate Programs for the American College, and then you are also a practitioner. You are the Succession Program Director for the Value Growth Institute. So we appreciate that we have both someone who is in the academic world of our industry and also someone who understands the field where advisors and practitioners are. So, but you have a very interesting way that you got to those things, Jali, which is what we want to talk to with our listeners today. Can you talk about your previous life and what you did that led you to financial services?
Absolutely. You know, I was before the financial services industry, I was always been working in the corporate ladder in public traded company. And in my last corporate job, I had a team of 176 people as a senior director. And one day I felt like I need to make a change in terms of my career. I'm not sure exactly what I could do. And sometimes I think that things happen and then just kind of let you into a direction that I actually didn't plan. So this is what I did. Instead of just jumping to a different career, not knowing where I'm going, I actually hired a CFP. Guess it's kind of an interesting journey. And while this particular CFP, he was in Texas and I was in Connecticut, and this was a long time ago, and our planning was done entirely on the phone. And at the time, there's not even a standard for taking credit cards over the phone.
Well, some firms still don't have that standard.
Yeah. So
you invented virtual planning then before it was the thing to do.
That's right. And then so through that process, I was so impressed and amazed by the entire planning process. And I was hooked. And I said to myself, I want to be like him. Mm-hmm. I want to do what he does. And I started doing some research and figuring out that what do I need to do to become him? Now, of course, he didn't encourage me to do that. He didn't think that I have the necessary, you know, kind of credentials or ability to do it. But I knew if I'm going to go into the business myself, I need to save up at least 4 years working capital. So I thought, I said to myself today, I thought I was pretty smart back then, knowing that I need to save working capital 4 years to do a new kind of a new business, if you will. But I also put a requirement for me as a person. I said to myself, if I did not pass CFP, that's a signal for me that I better stay in my cushion job. Right. Mm. Just keep going with my job, no matter how much I don't like it and things like that. And through that journey that I realized the more and more I like it as I was preparing for the CFP. And back then it's really completely 100% self-study. I spent approximately 6 months of time studying the materials, 3 months prepare for it. And I passed. I was amazed, you know, someone with no industry experience, even though I do have business degree, but it doesn't necessarily know that I know the stuff. I thought having a CFP, I'm going to do so fabulous in the industry. But I'll tell you, I was very, very wrong. Because,
we're going to burst the CFP's bubbles here, Jali. Go for it.
No. What I mean by that is not necessarily, I was focusing on if I have a technical planning skill, mm-hmm. I will be just fine. But I mm-hmm. wasn't really clear about running your own business require mostly marketing and sales skill set, not necessarily my technical skill set. As a matter of fact, once I got through the CFP, and I was affiliated with Lincoln Financial, by the way, and that was my very first company in the broker-dealer environment and in the high net worth space to have my own practice, I have actually centralized planning to another department, right? Because in Lincoln, you have a centralized planning department. So I pay people to do planning. So technically speaking, my technical planning skill was not necessarily put to use, except that I was very much focusing on, so how do I market? How do I brand? How do I close deals? And I know that you would ask this question, so I'll just jump into that I did not know what to do. I had no knowledge about sales and marketing. And I ended up having to hire coaches, go into workshops, seminars, just a lot of training on top of it. And that's what I was saying. I felt like I was smart. I have working capital, right? Because the business haven't even generated any revenue yet. I'm paying out, learning these things. And I realized that the skill set needed, if you want to be a retail environment, I'm not discounting CFP. I think CFP is still phenomenal things to obtain if you could. But if you are in a retail environment working with clients one-on-one, you do need to invest in yourself in the necessary marketing and sales skill set. If you don't mind that I share a quick story.
Go for it.
When I hire my first sales coach, right? And people might think back in those days that hiring a sales coach is it's a pretty expensive thing to do, but I had the nerve to just spend the money, just invest myself to do that. Now, this particular sales coach, and I have a very particular preference, I want a woman to work with me because I know the industry has a lot of male. They may not know where I'm coming from. Plus, I'm not from the industry. And by personality, I'm very, very shy. You might think that's not true.
I was just going to say, no way.
but by personality, I'm really, really shy. So this coach, sales coach, put me to a personality test first, plus the DISC, the typical DISC test. She came back to me. She did not agree to work with me. She agreed that she would test me first before she decided what to do. And my test result came back in a borderline of, I really just am not cut up to be a sales and a marketing person.
Oh,
and
man.
This was,
Jelly, how
this
many
was
women?
Really terrible.
Yeah, but how many women do we hear this story with that they had a personality test when they came to the industry and it told them that they were going to epically fail?
Right. And I think the most difficult thing that she said to me was that she said, you're not cut off to be a sales or marketing person in this industry. Therefore, I do not want to work with you. I'm like, what? I'm paying you. You're not working with me. And that's why I did the impossible. I did the impossible of looking at her and in her eyes and said, that's not possible. That's just not possible. Can you do something? Is there some other alternative that you and I can work with, right? And I later learned this. A lot of the sales tactic in this industry is they reject you first. So you get so hooked on them, you wanted to work with them. And I knew that after the fact, right? So nevertheless, she did come back with an alternative. She said that, sure, I will work with you 6 months only. If nothing turned out to be good, then we should just not work together. And we did. We did 6 months together. I actually did not find her the skill set not suited for me either. Mm-hmm. So I part way, and then I hire a marketing coach. I realize that, sure, sales is not my top skill set, but by working with this marketing coach, oh my God, this is, I think it happens for a reason. I have to go through the sales coach first. Then I went into this marketing coach and I realized I am so good at marketing. And so sometimes when people tell you not good at something, that doesn't mean that you're not good at certain things. So just keep an open mind. I guess that's what I would advise people to do. Just keep an open mind. But the biggest challenge, I would say, coming from a career changer, was the fact that because I chose to be in the retail environment, I did not have the necessary sales and marketing skill. So that's probably one of those big challenges that I face early on.
Definitely. Jolly, thanks for that thought. I'm going to take us to a break and we'll pick up where we left off.
Give your clients the retirement security they need with our Retirement Income Certified Professional designation.
Visit theamericancollege.edu/RICP to learn more.
Deliver financial planning for every person and every need through our Chartered Financial Consultant Education Program. Find the tools and skills you need at theamericancollege.edu/CHFC.
Thanks for that quick break. Let's pick it up from here. It's interesting, Jolly. I mean, I think, again, just listening to you talk about that and the stories of especially other women who have come to this industry, there were these boxes that were created as, you know, the industry formed, and they were never willing to think that somebody could be successful outside of those boxes, right? And you obviously can. We know advisors that are not good at any number, the technical planning, the sales, the marketing, right? And if you are a good, savvy business person, you can hire to those things that maybe are not your strength, or a coach, right? If you want to work on those things. So I want to come back to a couple things that you said in that, Jolly, about the advisor that you started working with, where you basically started virtual financial planning. You said you were impressed and amazed by what happened in those conversations. And I'm like, I'm really interested in what about that as an outsider to financial planning really caught your attention.
It was the process that caught my attention, right? Because I work in the, you know, senior management of public traded company, lots and lots of process procedures are in place. Mm-hmm. So I was actually extremely impressed with the planning process that was consistent, and the detail planning and the recommendation, everything was not necessarily, this guy has not sell me one single financial product, period, through the entire process until we get to the implementation. So I didn't have other experience before. I should say that I didn't have other experience working with other advisor, but it at least gave me very much at ease as a consumer, as a client, knowing that I'm actually getting what I wanted. And what I wanted was very simple, very simple. I asked him two questions, do planning and come back and answer two questions. One is, can I afford to make a career change today? Number two, or can I afford to retire early? So then I'll just do this advisor things.
For fun, yeah.
As for fun, right? And through that process, not knowing that I was expecting a yes or no, right? He came back with all kinds of things, right? Yes, you know, a whole bunch of other things that could, there's really never a straight yes or no. And that was what caught me. This is a fascinating process that if I can benefit from it, and at that time, I wasn't necessarily like high net worth, like compared to my clients today, but I just felt like, can you imagine how many people can benefit from this type of service? So yeah, that's kind of what caught my attention in terms of the real financial planning service.
Yeah, that it's that experience that we talk about now, right? It is typically based on a process. It is something that is robust. It is not a sale. It is a relationship building, value demonstrating process, which is really cool. Okay, so you were in the corporate world, Jolly, which I think this is one of those boxes that we as an industry or hiring managers at different firms in the industry who are assessing new talent go, if you were in that corporate world for so long, right, you have a different mindset than the sales, marketing, relationship building, and the, you know, technical knowledge you need to be a financial planner or advisor. Do you have anything about that experience that you can look back on now and go, it actually gave you an advantage in some ways? Because I think we tend to think of that as just, it's a very different way of thinking about business and the world. And it's a huge shift for some folks coming out of corporate positions.
That's an excellent question. And I'll tell you that sometimes people discounted their previous experience. And I definitely would not do that. And the reason is when I started as a retail advisor, right, because of my corporate experience, I actually know how to speak the language in corporate, right? Mm-hmm. So as a matter of fact, my initial set of the clients are all from my friends in corporate because they knew me and they knew that I'm, you know, have high integrities, and they just kind of trust me because they knew me. And it's not necessarily until later on that I have other niche that I developed. But I think the biggest advantage is the corporate language I know how to speak about. And so I would recommend people, if you are coming from a different industry, regardless about what that is, tap into the same industry as your referral source or a client source, because that's a very natural way to expand, to begin your career, versus you're trying to hit something that you don't necessarily have a way to connect to. So that's what I would recommend in terms of use what you have and leverage from the very beginning.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. It's interesting, Jolie, and I'm going to bring up it throughout our conversation because I just got back from the Women Advisor Summit in Denver, and they had some students from University of Colorado, which hopefully they're listening to this podcast because we talked about how it could be beneficial to them. But they had brought this idea up, Jolie, that it had kind of come out of conversations that they were thrilled, like excited that they could start another career doing something, you know, maybe not in financial services, and that could actually be beneficial to them if they decided that this was the right route, because they'd have, you know, one, experience under their belts, that, you know, they're coming out of college, and that two, they would have those folks that they would understand maybe their work structure, their benefits, the challenges that they might face in terms of planning, and could speak their language. And I just thought that they had picked up on this was so cool, right? Like, that is not necessarily the way that you expected that to go, maybe, or you planned for that to go, because you had your 4 years of working capital. You didn't know you had this, you know, group of clients that you were going to be bringing in. So I think that's so important for our next gen folks to hear of the different ways that this can be built, Jolie. And I know you were a couple different hats in this business, you have worn other hats in this industry. How have you decided which hats to wear, or how did you know that you could decide to wear other hats and you didn't just have to be this one thing?
I think this, sometimes I tell people that regardless about what you do, whether or not you work for people or have your own business, you always need to be consciously listening. Whether or not that's pull your antenna out as far as you could possibly reach, is really intuitively listen to what's going on surrounding you, right? The questions that you mentioned that about that when people are in this industry, people tend to wear multiple hats, but those hats doesn't necessarily just been given to me, right? Those are the hats that I happen to running into. So for example, early on in anyone's career in this industry, that if you deal with clients, you know, you have to go out there and do networking. And when you are doing the networking, you are going to run into people who are potentially needed your help, not necessarily personally. So early on, I was very active working on the VITA source. So VITA from the IRS, providing free tax filing, if you will. So I was very much involved early on as a volunteer, not knowing this. Sometimes things happen for you to learn. And if you listen intensively and carefully, just follow it. Don't try to second guess. So I did that for several years, not knowing when I was doing volunteering. I didn't actually have any sense of getting any clients, because you're not allowed to do that when you're doing volunteer. But what I learned was incredible ability to read tax returns, right? This is incredible ability. And I could, when I working with clients, because of those many years that I did tax return for free, you know, for the IRS, which you still have to do annual testing, if you will, to qualify to do that. Not knowing that when you were volunteering, things like that actually enhanced my practice tremendously. And so what I meant by sometimes you need to really just trust when you are out there, trust what you run into, listen to it intensively. You may not have anything immediate return coming back, but you know what? All of these are building blocks. If you're going to have a successful business, you're going to need a lot of skill sets. Some of these skill sets early on, maybe just a tiny little building block. Use that as a building block, as a learning knowledge, build on it, and then move on to something else. But what I'm trying to say is that sometimes opportunities may not be volunteer like what I just mentioned. It could potentially be volunteer like a board position, right?
Sure.
If you volunteer as a board position, that's an incredible business skill set, mm-hmm. not to mention the people that knows you. And I ultimately realized at the end of the day, if you really want to do a very good job in networking or brand yourself, service is actually one of the best way to do that, because people actually see you in action outside of your business, right? So then they know you based upon, she is not just all about getting your money. She has the heart for the community. You know, I mean, let's be real. There's so many salespeople out there.
Yep.
How do you then differentiate, right? So hopefully that answers your questions.
I think so. I mean, that's how you and I met that way, right? Working with WIFS, right. Women in Insurance and Financial Services. And I think I love the building block analogy, Jolly. I think especially for our career changers, right? They have very different building blocks, right, probably than some of our, you know, what we would call a traditional, you know, new person coming into the industry. But those are the building blocks, I think, that ultimately help to make them successful within the careers in this industry. So Jolly, thank you for being willing to share your story as a career changer. And I know we're going to continue the conversation talking about your personal practice. So thank you for being with us for this episode.
Well, thank you for having me.
For more episodes of this and other podcasts, visit theamericancollege.edu/podcasts. And don't forget to leave us a rating and review. This has been Next Gen in 10, brought to you by the American College of Financial Services.